Jamaica's Jimmy Cliff with Sooner or Later from his 1973 album, Struggling Man. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And how am I sounding? I don't know, but it's sounding very odd here on my end. We're going to talk about what we are observing, because this is history in the making, and what we make of it. When I say history in the making, it's not in a good sense either. You know, things are happening that we can't begin to fathom, because there's so much going on, so many people involved, and we may not know what the plan is, but there is a plan somewhere. It just does not seem to be the plan that we want. You know, we want, for example, a sane government with a sane president. We want a coordinated effort. We want the focus to be on the nation. What is to happen to the people comprising the nation? We don't get that. We don't have that at all. We have a sense of a bunch of really unstable people who are doing whatever they want to do. They are delighted that they have the opportunity. They have the money available to them to do whatever it is they want to do. And they're having a ball. And the concern seems to be, you know, get whatever you can, get as much as you can now. And I don't understand how it is we are supposed to get through a time in our lives as a nation when this is the attitude. It's all over the place. Let's just plunder. Plunder the treasury, steal as much as we can, lie and cheat and do whatever it is we have to. We have no sense that there is a general adherence to principle. Principle died a long time ago. And more, the apparatus of the state is becoming oppressive, exclusionary, downright unlawful. And we're supposed to just figure it out on our own, because we are left on our own. The protections we thought that we enjoyed with other systems that were watching, you know, keeping a watch, they're not doing their job either. And the same larceny, the same attitude is with them as well. So this is a question we're going to be talking about today. We are still, no matter what they say, we are still on the brink of war. We're still on the brink of war. And even among us, the citizens of this country, the people of this nation, we're saying, the hell with that. It's not a big deal. It will work itself out. They'll figure a way out. But it's not a big deal. We are more, we are closer to it than we've ever been in the last couple of years. What, therefore, are our options when we look at what we've got? President Trump and the Washington Circus. What options do we have? If we're still clinging to the notion that, well, we ought to have an orderly kind of government, we ought to have, democracy by the people, for the people kind of thing, we should have our voices heard and our government should be, our government should be responsible. Our government should be keyed into or at all times the interests of the people. We don't have that. Why are we pretending? And it's getting worse every single day. This is worse than a circus. At least a circus is entertaining. This isn't. This is very, very scary. That the so-called leading power, one of the leading powers of the world, this is how it is being governed. And we, the people, seem to have lost our ability or our right even to object. We don't want this. This is not the way that we're supposed to be governed. The president's private life dominating our consciousness. We should be about what is it that is in the interest of all the people. We shouldn't be talking about, whether he slept with hookers in Moscow. And all these minions who have been plugged into these positions of authority also going wild. Some guy installs a private phone booth in his office that costs more than $40,000. Somebody buying a dining desk slash table for $31,000. We've gone crazy. People regularly hopping on planes that are costing thousands and thousands of dollars because, they get a kick out of it. They have the ability to do it, so why not do it? Abuse their authority. Abuse the people of the nation, because that is all tax money. And they're having a ball. This entire administration is completely out of control. They don't even have time to deal with the people's business. They're so busy packing their day with appointments having to do with how they individually will be making money, plotting their future. They don't have time to worry about the rest of us. This clearly is undesirable. This is wrong. It is open season. Everybody doing what they want to do. There is no discipline. There is no sense that, well, look who we have for a president. What kind of example is he setting, even for his own cabinet members? So we're in very bad shape. And still, we're involving ourselves in the world community of nations in a way that again puts us in trouble. We can't look at the world, and the world is looking at us as a nation basically on the way down, a nation inevitably that will crash. The excesses, the craziness that are being excused. All right, so we're going to talk today from your perspective. From your perspective. what is the alternative here? How do we get through this madness? Is it possible that we can? And if we can, what has to happen in order for us to be able to say, you know what, there's a different way. I do not subscribe to this administration. It has lost its credibility. It has lost, I think, it has lost the right to govern. It has proven time and again unable and incapable of governing. So what do people do? Do we hang around and wait and say, okay, let's see what happens in the next election? And in the meantime, well, we can't do anything, so we just have to observe, passive observers. What do we do? The systems that we thought were actually opposition, like the Democratic Party and other parties, they've just about laid down and died. We're hearing nothing from them. They have very little, if anything, to offer as an alternative now. Not the midterm elections. I don't want to hear about the midterm elections. We have a crisis now. We have a crisis now. What can we do now to turn things around, if we can do that at all? What are our options? You know, the attitude is, well, you don't understand the American system. One of the beauties of the American democratic system is that it has built in enough elastic to let these things happen from time to time, but ultimately it will self-correct. That's the genius of American democracy. Things may look a little dicey from time to time, but in the end, we have mechanisms to turn things around. Hello? Are they turning things around? We see the corruption and nepotism. We see just plain larceny, unbridled theft. This is a kleptocracy. Everybody's trying to figure out what they're going to take of the people's valuables. What are they going to take? How are they going to leave this administration, whenever and if ever that happens, with a nice, fat bank account? So far, the Trump administration has had enough time to indicate that it is about the people's business. I don't see that. I see a lot of people just, you know, paddling in the water, making it look, you know, make work, making it look like they're working. They're not doing anything. They're not turning things around. They're not being innovative. They're not dealing with the mounting issues, economic and social and political, that we are experiencing as a nation. They have no answers. You have incompetent people. Hey, your name is Trump. You qualified. You'll be the, what do you want to be, as a matter of fact? Oh, you want to be Secretary of State? Go ahead. This is how this is running. We should be very, very scared. We are in a very precarious position as a nation, and there's very little that we could point to that seems to be working and working effectively. We're seeing an unusual amount of larceny, crookedness, theft, people breaking the law, and that's just a precedent. We can't, and you know, creating these circumstances, we are on the brink of war. I don't care what they say. Now he has changed his mind again, and yet people are supposed to believe that he is mentally stable. The whole world is laughing. They cannot believe that the United States is in the hands of morons like these, making the stupidest decisions, completely irresponsible decisions. They're learning on the job, and they're not capable of learning at all. These people don't, you wouldn't hire them to walk your dog. They don't know what they're doing. But the Treasury seems to be like a bonanza. Just come in and take what you want. You have been appointed to an office. Hey, you and your crazy wife, you know, maybe you have an idea that you need to see someplace. So why not use a military jet to do that? And people are supposed to be very patient, and they're supposed to just trust that these very, very remarkable people who are good at solving problems are going to do the right thing. I say they've already used up their time. And they all need to go. We need to have a national referendum on this government, a vote of no confidence. We can't tolerate this going on and on and on because we have an election schedule. No, the crisis is now. We have to solve this now. We need a push for a plebiscite, the people voting on this question. Should this government be disbanded because it has been so frightfully incompetent and ineffective, riddled with corruption? We see how other countries have done it. The so-called backward countries, as Donald Trump likes to talk about, criticizing those third world countries, well, they have had a far more advanced way of dealing with their political crises than we have. We have a stupid government, a predatory government, a kleptocracy, and we can't do anything about it. They've gone to the streets. They have literally thrown out these governments that are useless. And they say, let's start from scratch. I don't know that there's some constitutional requirement that people must suffer needlessly by because there's a government in place that cannot do the job. So you have to, it's like a marriage. There's no reason that if you're unhappy in a marriage, you have to stick with it. Well, Trump knows this better than anybody. It's exactly like that. If the government is being unfaithful to the people, if the government is not living up to the ideals that we kind of understood to be what we should expect, if the administration cannot solve, and it doesn't look like it is even it has even begun to solve the pressing problems of the day. If we see this level of recklessness and just plain stupid decision making, where is the law that says that we have to stick with that and wait till the next election? No, we want to get rid of you now. You should go now. You should be put out of office now. Just a few days ago, you had us at the brink of World War III. And your life is going on like nothing ever happened. And the expectation is that people also should go on as if nothing ever happened. We ought to be real clear. This government is crazy. Not the people. The government is out of whack. The government is out of control. The government has broken all bonds that you could think of in this so-called contract called democracy. This isn't government by the people for the people. This is government to spite the people. This is government despite the people. This is government working against the interests of the people. This is a government facilitating a kleptocracy and an oligarchy, which is pretty much the same thing. They're stealing the resources in your face. They're doing all these illegal things, all these unprincipled things. And what, we're just supposed to sit here like, you know, there's nothing that could be done. And yet we see all over the world people who, having given their governments, their various governments, the benefit of time, the benefit of doubt, the benefit of consideration, they reached a point and they said, you've got to go. And we're going to throw you out, because that's what a democracy is. We don't have to live with you. You're no good. You are not good for this job. And you're not going to produce for the people what the people are looking for. Nobody's demanding that everybody should have a yacht. But there are some basic things that we expect a government to do and to be. Sanity is one of them. We expect a government to be sane. We expect a government to be competent. We expect a government to understand the word democracy. This is not the rich boys' club. We did not elect people to appoint themselves members of the rich boys' club, and they're doing whatever they want to do with the expectation that they are above the law. And you can't do anything about it. You're just going to have to suck it up. Just pay more taxes. Just tolerate schools closing. Just tolerate an escalating unemployment rate and rents that are sky high and wages that are going down. Just shut up and tolerate that. Because we are in charge, the kleptos. Everybody who comes into office leaves office, even if they stay only for a matter of months, they leave office with incredible portfolios. How the heck does that happen? And why should we tolerate this? When are we going to say enough is enough? We have seen everything we need to see to arrive at the logical conclusion. This administration is unqualified. And I'm not talking with that silly observation by James Comey about who is morally fit. He is not morally fit himself. But geez, do we have to tolerate this level of insanity? And you know, this is one of the things I have to bring in the angle of race here. They would never have permitted Barack Obama to get away with this level of consistent insanity and still be in office. And when I say insanity, I'm not just using it blithely as, you know, just a term to indicate that we are disgusted with the government. I mean, this is insanity. Even the generals are saying so. This is an insane administration. It has no plans because they're not there to see to the needs of the people. They're there first and foremost to orchestrate unimaginable wealth deriving from their positions in power, their political positions. That's the number one, that's the number one imperative. And they're all following that model. That's the model. And they have the nerve to talk about cutting back welfare, cutting back food stamps. And look at them. They're feeding and feasting on the miseries of this country. You're going to deny a mother some benefits so that she could provide food for her family, and you don't have a problem putting in a 40-something thousand dollar phone booth in your office and you're still there and you know things are just going on with one kind of insanity versus another. People hopping on chartered flights. People who have zero experience. Jared Kushner, because he's your son-in-law, is in charge of peace efforts in the Middle East. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? We're supposed to accept this? A guy who cannot even fill out his form right. And your daughter is whatever she wants to do whenever she wakes up as an official, in an official capacity. And making a lot of money. And they don't care. This is the one thing that you have in the Trump administration. I've never seen anything like it, where uniformly the attitude by members of the cabinet is we don't give a damn. You're going to close on top of the grief that Puerto Rico has just experienced. You're going to close 200 more schools. And nobody's supposed to believe that you mean to literally grind these people into the ground. You're dirty people. You're nasty people. And we ought to get you out. We don't have to live with you and live with your putrid ideas, psychotic behavior? And we're not buying whatever it is, this self-delusion that you're operating with every day, that you now represent the new America. But you could take the new America and your view and shove it. This is just not right. And we should not accept this level of passivity from the so-called opposition, because they too have an obligation to be our advocates, and they're not doing the job. They too are into the kleptocrat mentality. So I'm asking you today for a sober evaluation of what our options are. Are we going to continue having these esoteric theoretical discussions about what is possible? Or are we seriously now going to get down to business about eradicating these blockages and returning some semblance of sanity to this thing we call democracy? This is outrageous. It is outrageous. Anybody with a reasonably sane mind, you don't even have to be perfectly sane, just reasonably. If you have 4 ticking brain cells in your head, you can see that there's something deeply wrong with the way this country is right now. And you also can see how or who is causing it. You don't have to be a mathematical genius. You don't have to have 500 PhD degrees. The media just talking about these things as if they're just stories, you know, just the story for the day, such and such and the story. They are not doing their jobs either. They are not deconstructing the reality that we actually are living in. They're not reporting the level of stress that people have, the suffering that people are going through, because this administration is completely out of whack. If this were another point in time, we would be reading daily of people who have to come before commissions of inquiry and account for themselves, with the bailiff standing right next there, right next to them, to take them to their cells. We'd be reading about the sentencings that a lot of people are receiving. We'd be reading about the treasonous acts that have been committed. We'd be reading about the level of corruption. We haven't seen this in a long time, but it's in your face. They're so bold. We've got to do something. And I'm asking you, because maybe I'm missing the point. I could be dead wrong about everything I'm saying. There's that possibility. So I'm asking you, really, we should begin this discussion. We ought to begin this discussion. What options do we have that we are prepared to take? Or are we well settled into the current scheme of things? Are we approving by our silence and our inaction, are we approving of the way things are going on in this country? I'll take this break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888, right after this.
Sit around and hesitate. Say you're waiting for a lucky break. Life's for living. Better use your sense. Use what you got from coincidence. Eminem. Sooner or later, you're gonna have to stand up tall. Sooner or later.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. The number to call is 888-874-4888. And I am just asking whether we are prepared to go into action. And this means we have to confront those systems that we have entrusted our faith in, to be the countervailing force in Congress or in the state legislature or in the city council. They sold us out. They continue to sell us out. And we are doing nothing about it except griping. Ernie from New York, you're on the air.
Thank you, Utrice, for venting for us. You know, I'm frustrated myself. I've been watching things evolve for the last 12-plus months. You know, it's really crazy. But, you know, one thing that bothers me is that, you know, like at home and other places, I see, you know, if you go to the gym, if you go to any place where you have to wait, if you watch a TV or any programs, is that people are just busy watching things like Dancing with the Stars and all these type of things, and they're infatuated by these things. People don't talk about these subjects, politics and stuff like that at work. They don't want to talk about politics even when you have gatherings, like it's a taboo or something like that. I don't know what's happening. We're just letting them just run over us, and they don't care, and we're just allowing it to. I just want to thank
you. I'm asking you for your ideas today on what do you think we need to do?
Well,
why should we continue to just go along with this? And we know it's wrong. We know they're incompetent. We know they're doing very bad things in office that are affecting us already.
Politically, we can't go through the local politics because a lot of the politics are part of the same machinery, the big system. What we can do individually, which I do sometimes, is log on to a website like Information Clearing House, another website like Great Palaces, and send these news, the other news that they don't want to hear, you don't hear about on CNN. I just send these news and information to each other and to spread it along to our relatives and friends. They might not like it, but if they don't tell us, you know, not to send it anymore, we just continue to send. We have to spread the other views. And like you said, you know, this is crazy what he did, because Russia, I mean, Putin, they warned that lead to, you know, another something else, another Cold War, a worse than Cold War, and that they could take action. We don't know exactly what kind of actions they're going to take and if they're going to take any. So, you know, I'm saying,
how is it that other countries have figured this out? They've made a definitive move to redefine this relationship between the governed and those who govern. They made it very clear.
What I have noticed,
they've taken to the streets. They've demanded change.
Exactly.
They hadn't taken this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Later.
I you know, I grew up myself in Panama, and I remember the days of Torrijos, and the people took to the street, and Torrijos was brought in, and he changed things. Eventually, he was, you know, he died in a plane crash, and they have indication that if there was, you know, what might have been set up. But what I'm saying is that the people have to be educated. The people have to be informed. If you keep them busy,
the people have to be educated and informed. I'm asking you, what is a workable plan? What is something you think that can be put into effect relatively quickly, because we don't have time to waste, that would solve this problem about the lopsided relationship between our government and the people governed? That's the question. Thank you, though, for getting us started today and putting your ideas on the table for consideration. Thank you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. As I see this, we have reached a point where that the ruling class has gotten into position where the masses of people cannot reform what we have in place now. They have reached one of the highest developments, as I see it, in terms of the economy, the politics, the social the situation of capitalism, where capitalism is at the summit, and the people are being royally screwed. So there's no reform.
For some reason, we lost you, David. So we'll try it again, if you can call back again. Khalid from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Okay, Khalid. How are you?
I'm great. Sunny and cool and breezy, so very nice. We're in a bad shape right now. And so you presented the problem. So, you know, I like what you said about a referendum, because the Congress is not doing their job. That, like you said, we're dealing with kleptocracy, white privilege, and manifest destiny all mixed together, and capitalism, but which is not a terrible thing, I don't think, but it has to be bridled. But maybe a referendum, because we have to get our lawmakers' attention, you know. So I think maybe a combination of a referendum and a people's march against scandal in D.C., for those who can get to D.C., because obviously the people who we elect, our representatives, are not operating in our best interest. And if you think about who comprises the Electoral College, it's our lawmakers. It's senators and representatives. So they may have been compromised also. Because if this regime is not headed by a Russian agent, he's sure doing a good acting job. Because beyond the politics, as you started your conversation, our country is incredibly weak now. We've already been attacked electronically, but we were chaotic. We're weak.
We're weak, but you know what? There's still a class of people who are doing very well. And they're doing this through the agency of politics, and we are the ones electing these folks. So if you can, Khalid, give me a working idea of what can be done to turn this tide, because it's going to go downhill even further.
Okay. It starts with a treatise. Okay. We have to get names on this treatise that are recognized nationally. And the treatise has to start with grievances, because it's obvious that this is not working out. Like you said, this is a bad marriage. This regime is incompetent. This particular leader of our regime, he continues to appoint incompetent and ineffectual people, which means that even when he's gone, we're still going to have problems, which is even more reason why he has to go. So we have to present these things in a treatise, have folks sign off on it, and circulate this. So because this is just not going to be effective unless we all get on message. You can't have a lot of different people having a lot of different messages. We have to really focus in on 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 points. There's so many to pick from, but 10 important points why this is not working and this situation has to be fixed, because we should not be asked to endure another 2.5 years of this. We may not have a country left in 2.5 years. But see, the problem, now I'm in South Carolina, this is Trump country. The problem is that there's almost 40% of our population that support this regime for whatever reason, you know. But
my point is, yes, you will find that. But there's got to be some way in which the point is to be made, not so much, not only to the administration, but we have to make it to ourselves that we are entitled to better and that we do not countenance what's going on. This is not a democratic situation. We do not like it. We do not want it, and it's got to go. And we have to start a conversation about getting the courage to start moving in a direction in which all legislatures understand that they're not there in their own cocoon doing whatever it is they want without anybody watching them. I mean, even in this administration, not even the people who are supposed to be watching are watching. So we got to do something, and it's already crisis stage. Thank you so much for your input today. Chris from West Palm Beach, you're on the air.
Yatrice, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We have to start for a solution. It's going to, you know, you have to operate on many fronts, right? You can't just do one thing or the other. We can't go at Congress. You can't ask the servants of money to do something. They have no power, right? They're all paid for. So we have to find another target. So with that being said, we have to start shutting things down, stop paying bills, just attack their centers of capital. For instance, shutting down the ports, not shopping at their stores, finding other ways to do things. That's one way. Two, because if you, let me go back to that point real quick, because if you don't attack the money, government is not going to do anything. So we basically have to go after the master capitalists who basically run the system. And you go at the things that generate the most money for them. That's the first thing. Second, you just need smaller councils in your city or your town you have to take that over as well, because you can't just take over D.C. or Washington by your, you know, with a small group of people. It's just not going to work. So
I get that.
Ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm asking, though, what is a plan? I mean, we're talking within the framework of what we understand democracy to be.
But we know this is not a democracy.
Right.
That's just a word.
So,
this is not a democracy. We would like to be a democracy.
Yes, I understand that. So I'm saying that is the framework within which we are operating here. We're saying that the definition simply is not fitting what we are experiencing now.
Absolutely.
And therefore, how do we fix this arrangement where people in office seem to be doing whatever they want to do, and the people who are the voters, that's all they do is just vote, and then that's the end of that. How do we fix this?
You see, but this can't be done on the weekend, or you have to either be about the revolution, or because you can't keep your 9-to-5 and think that you're going to make a credible impact in changing the system from what it is to what we need it to be. So it's going to cause a lot of pain and it's going to cause a lot of discomfort. It can be done, but are the people willing to do it? Because the caller prior to me said 40% of the people are in support of the Trump administration. The way I see it is like 90% or 95% of the people, period, believe in this entire system. So there's a lot of work to be done to change it. And now we're just going to have to deal with it as it comes, because we're nowhere near prepared to make that change.
Okay. Well, thank you for your ideas.
All right. Have a good one, Teresa.
You too, Chris. Thank you. Look, what I'm saying simply is, set aside all the impediments to the things that we think could work. The most important thing that we need to concentrate on is the message, even to ourselves, to redefine the relationship between government and those governed. We are the government as well. We do have a seat at the table. We do have a say. It should stop when we say stop. It should go when we say go. We cannot sustain this lopsided arrangement and pretend that this is the democratic ideal. We've got to stop that and redefine that. How do we do that? It's not that we're showing them something. It's more that we are affirming our rights. We do not, we should not expect to be exploited, not by the government. We should not expect that government should be an instrument of misery and theft and corruption. They are abusing the supposed contract that we have, and we have to stand up for the integrity of that contract. You're not elected so that you can put your hand in the till and spread money around among your friends. Many of you are in queue to contribute your opinions today, and you obviously, we at the end of the program, so we won't be able to get to you today. But fear not, you know me. If we can't talk to you today, we talk to you tomorrow and make that happen. We have to do something. This simply cannot be allowed to go on. And we have to stop pretending. And the fact is, we have to face the fact. We have to admit that change means that we have to do it. We can't stand on the sidelines and expect change. This is something we must do. We have to fix this. So let's continue the discussion tomorrow. I apologize to people who weren't able to get in today, but you know how it is. This is life. You know, you weren't able to talk today. We make it possible for you to get your contribution in tomorrow. But in the meantime, I want to thank you so much for at least stretching the mind a bit to see that we have so much work to do in our own interests. And we have to think collectively. We have to encourage the conversation. And that we shall do tomorrow. In the meantime, thank you for joining me today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, The Infectious Myth with David Crowe. And we'll connect again tomorrow. Thank you so much.